But now, I don't want y'all getting violent, amen. I don't want you throwing up your fist, and I don't want you going to get weapons, amen. But I want you to know, after we get done today, I want you to know how to fight God's way, amen. I thank the Lord I got me some new sweat towels today. I'm trying to calm down on sweating. I want to get to where I just talk about the word and teach a little bit, but something happens and I get a little excited and I start sweating. But I thank the Lord for Evangelist Doris Davis, my mother-in-law, amen. Give me this thing, got Pastor Magnus. I better not see nobody else wipe the sweat. This is Pastor Magnus, amen. And so I had a towel in there. I said, I'm good, I got one. And when I went to pick up Sister Cortesia and came back, I had some Pastor Magnus towels. I'm like, you can go on and take them other towels now. These can't no mistake. Y'all know something? I'm thinking about labeling my towels at the house. Amen. But God is so good. I'm so thankful when saints think of me like this. And, you know, that's my mother-in-law. We're closely connected, and for her to feel that way towards me, to make a towel like this, that means something, y'all. Amen. It ain't like if somebody don't know me just come here on Sundays and they just see the smile and happy pastor. She see the whole enchilada. Amen. Sometimes you take some bites out of that enchilada, all of it ain't as good as some of it is. Amen. But amen, she knows how to deal with all of it. Amen. Let's go on with the word here in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And if we don't get back to that, I wanted to read it because I want us to understand that Paul understood here that after the course of his ministry and after the things that he endured, he knew that death was imminent. Amen. And we've got to know that death is imminent. Whether we live to be 70, 80, 100, 150, death is coming at some point. And we want to be able to say we did what it is the Lord told us to do, that we have fought a good fight. And it is something that when you look out now, you don't see fight going on anymore. You see folks showing up in the house of the Lord. You see folks talking about God. But we don't see the fight that we need to see, the grit that we need to see in God's people, the determination that God's people need to say that for God I live and for God I die. And Satan, no matter what you throw at me, see, folk too busy worrying about what he throws at us financially and materially or through our physical body, but we're not talking about whatever you throw at me spiritually, that I'll be able to handle that. Amen. We're so busy talking about, yes, I'll be able to make my house know. Yes, I'll be able to fix my car. Yes, I'll be able to make A's while I'm in college. We think about that stuff, and that's good. God got you. But the first and foremost thing we need to be thinking about is the fight that's on the spiritual front. And stop thinking so much. Look, when you fight on the spiritual front, it's easy to fight on the physical front. When you have to deal with the spiritual things that come at you and you have victory in those things, it's easy to proclaim victory. You don't wait for the battle to be over. You shout in advance of your victory because you already know what God is able to do by way of your spiritual victories. So we're going to go to this word in 1 Timothy 6 and 9. And it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We must be careful, saints, because in our fight, sometimes we're fighting for the wrong thing. We're fighting against the wrong thing. Amen. And so when we are using our energy for one specific thing because we want notoriety, we want money, we want to be noticed and all of that kind of stuff, what happens is we sink down into destruction, which leads to what? Perdition. Amen. Perdition being what, y'all? The lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Amen. We don't want to go there. So first we would experience it while we're here on earth. Then we have to take that and take it on to eternity. So if we are utilizing our whole life for no other purpose than to get stuff, to accumulate, how many of you all have accumulated stuff? I've accumulated stuff, and it seems like in my flesh, I still want to accumulate. Amen. Just, you know, once I got one or two of something, why not have four or five or something? Once I have four or five, why don't I just have 10 or 15? Amen. An accumulation. We call it a collection, because that way, if I have a collection, you know, I can justify a collection. I don't call it heaping up to my flesh. I don't call it accumulation of material things. I call it a collection. And that way, you must understand my trivial spending of money. Amen. Because it's a collection, Keith. Amen. But listen, when we use our time and we focus on stuff like that, we get in trouble and we don't see the things we need to see. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, not money, but the love of it. We need money. Amen. Whatever form of currency exists in various different countries. Amen. Whether it's the bartering system, whether it's agriculture system, whatever it is, we need money. But the love of money, amen, we're supposed to love God. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Y'all know a lot of people are praying amiss because while they are seeking and so in love with material wealth, they are praying to God, supposing that God, who is spiritual, will answer all of their material things. Amen. Look, some of these things just come with life. Amen. You don't even have to be saved. If you're willing to work hard and use the intelligence that God gave you, you can have all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of wicked people who have wealth beyond our imagination. Amen. There are some righteous people who have wealth beyond our imagination. But I would rather seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let these things be accumulated as they are supposed to be accumulated. That way I have my interest where it is supposed to be. Now, does that mean that you don't have projections? Just lay down your 5-year and 10-year projections. Don't work, be lazy and listless, and just be in a corner reading your Bible all day, every day, and praying to God. Well, if that's what God called you to do, do it. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is make God our number one interest, amen? And when we make him our number one interest, guess what? He starts illuminating our minds with the things that we can delve some other attention to, amen? Delight thyself, what? Also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So when you seek God and make him your number one interest, God starts showing things to you in your mind and opening up doors for the riches that you are supposed to have instead of the riches you want to take from everybody else to have. Amen. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Y'all, it's a serious fight. And I'm reading these things because sometimes we don't take it seriously, the type of fight that we're really in. Amen. Sometimes you can take a world-class champion boxer and pit him against a non-contender, and he takes that non-contender for granted, and the non-contender knocks him out and takes the crown. And too often we don't look at things the way that they need to be looked at or viewed. We don't take them seriously, and they are the small things that rise up and begin to nibble away at the greatness that we're supposed to have in Christ Jesus. And before you know it, you're down for the count. You know, a man walking around on stilts, you up into them places where somebody's on stilts and it looks like they're about 10 and a half feet tall. And, you know, he has to consider where he's walking on those stilts, because if he does not, he puts one of those stilts in a hole and down he comes. Amen. He has to be careful of little kids running around. He has to be careful of a thick crowd, because he's got to make sure that he's upright and able to do what he needs to do. He's careful because that fall will hurt. But many of us, we don't seem like we feel the spiritual fall because we cushion it with money. We cushion it with drugs or alcohol. We cushion it with entertainment. Come on, somebody in this place. And so therefore, we don't understand how deep a fall is. We don't feel the spiritual bruises like we need to feel them. But when we are connected to God like we're supposed to be connected to God, anything that we do outside the will of God, it is a spiritual bruise that we feel, and it seems like we can hardly overcome it because we're feeling shame, and it's hard for us to overcome the fact that we have gone against the will of God, that we have hurt and put a reproach upon the name of Jesus. So when you are fighting, you feel the slightest movement that goes outside of God. When you are really fighting, you understand where your punches need to be thrown and how you need to protect yourself. So fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, we got a lot of folk who are churchgoers, but they're not really thinking about eternity. I'm only 25, man. What you talking about eternity? I got an eternity left down here. I was 17 yesterday, so quit thinking like that. Amen. Time flies by so quickly. Amen. And I can remember 17 like it was yesterday. And should I live to be as old as Uncle Gordon, he said he's 83. Amen. If I make it to 83, I'll be looking at 52 like it was yesterday. Amen. So what is life but a vapor that what appeareth for a moment and soon vanisheth away? So we have to be concentrated upon our eternity, not upon our next party. We got to concentrate on eternity and not our next banquet that we're going to. Eternity, not our next job or house or girlfriend or boyfriend. Concentrate on eternity, and with our mind on eternal things, it establishes our hope. It anchors us in Christ Jesus, and our anchor in Christ Jesus calls us to fight where we need to fight. It calls us to see things that we ought to see. It calls us to not do things that we ought not to do. You stop picking the wrong girlfriends and boyfriends. You stop going to the boogie shack. You stop drinking like you've been drinking. You stop smoking that funny stuff like you've been smoking it. Why? Because you're putting up a fight. Amen. Says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Too many of us, we don't have endurance. We do things temporarily. We do it for a couple of days, and we pat ourselves on the back. I've been living holy for a day and a half now. I am somebody. Look at me, man. I ain't smoked no joint in 3 days, man, and I hadn't gone in the liquor store in 2 days, but yesterday I had my friend go in there, but I ain't been in there in 2 days. Come on, somebody in this place. I hadn't cussed. I've been thinking about cussing, but I hadn't cussed now in 5 hours, so I am somebody. Look here, we've got to endure beyond this 5 hour and 2 days in 1 week. Look, if you've been living holy a week, do feel good about it, but don't pat yourself on the back. Don't put yourself in the glory behind that week, but tell yourself, I got another week to go. Tell yourself, I got a year to go. Tell yourself, until the appearing of Jesus Christ, I've got to fight the good fight. So until Jesus come back, I won't be in the liquor store. Until Jesus come back, I won't be chasing no trousers or no skirt. Until Jesus come back, no funny stuff is going to enter into my body. Until Jesus come back, no profanity will be on these lips. Until Jesus come back, I'll love my neighbor. Until Jesus come back, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. We got to have an eternal mind, not just a mind that says, oh, I'm on a 2-day street now. Right. You know, they got that thing, and I think it's good, where they go to this thing and they get medals or pendants or whatever for however long they've been clean. And somebody else that's been through it, they'll walk by and see that pen on and say, oh, 6 months sober, huh? Good for you. Good for you. And so they get to talking to each other. How long you been sober? Well, I've been sober a year and a half. And And Lord, and I've been sober for 8 months. I'm working on my next pen. It's on its way up. That's good. Work on and develop and keep going to those levels. But when you put it into your mind, it is until the appearing of Jesus Christ, it makes it a lot easier. How many of you, when you fast the 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock fast, it's kind of more difficult than a 24-hour fast. But when you go on a 24-hour fast, you have no expectation of eating anything. Anybody with me in this place? You wake up at 6 a.m. and you know that you got to be without food and water till 6 a.m. on the next morning. So it's a little easier to get through the day because you know I can't have nothing to eat or drink all day. But when you're on the 12 a.m. to 4 p.m. fast, you're thinking at 4:01, I'm tearing something over. You got food coming across your mind and it's hard to make it until 4 o'clock. So when 1 o'clock comes, Sister Pat, you start telling yourself, oh, the Lord won't be mad if I just eat a little something right now. Because you've been thinking about food all morning long, all afternoon long. Food been on your mind. Water been on your mind. Gatorade been on your mind. Come on, somebody in this place. So it's harder to make it to the 4 o'clock fast because you got food on your mind thinking about, I can do something at 4:01. But when it's 24 hours until 6 a.m., you put food and water out of your mind and you say, I'm going to go to bed hungry tonight. I'm going to go to bed thirsty tonight. And I'm going to wait till I rise up in the morning. Y'all know nothing about that 24-hour fast. We would be getting up at 5:30 and you smell eggs and bacon cooking up in the kitchen and waiting to eat at 6 o'clock. And that food is ready before 6 a.m. comes. And you're just sitting there looking at it. And then your eyes are bigger than your stomach. But if you're an experienced faster, you know don't cook a lot of food because you can't eat that much after 24 hours of not eating. Don't put no orange juice in front of you because your body can't take it. Get a little water, one egg, and a piece of bacon, and I'm good to go. Come on and shout hallelujah. When you get through that 24 hours fast, that food tastes so good. You feel so thankful that the Lord blessed you to make it through. But I'm just trying to make the distinct difference between having an eternal mind of fighting and having a temporal mind of fighting. If you just tell yourself 2-day increments and 1-week increments, somehow it will sneak upon you to think, I can do something again because I've really done something good. But when you tell yourself that I've got to fight until the appearing of Christ Jesus, then you put sin out of your mind. Then you put those things that have troubled you so much out of your mind and you say, for God I live and for God I die. I'm not doing these things. I don't care how many weeks it's been, how many years it's been. I will never go back to the place that I once was. Come on and shout hallelujah. Now I want you to understand, sometimes even those that serve God feel like throwing up their hands in the air because they tell themselves, it seems like no matter what I do, it seems like my flesh still keeps on rising up. And what's the point of me saying that I love God? What's the point of me saying that I serve Him? What's the point of me saying that I want to live holy? And every time I blink my eyes, temptation rises back up. My flesh keeps on being stimulated to go this way or that way, and my mind keeps on going against the holiness that's on the inside of me. I want you to know that you're not the only one. From the pulpit to the door, we all have to fight this fight. No matter what it is that trouble you and disturb you, you've got to stand up and fight against it. And Paul in Romans the 7th chapter, if I can calm down, we'll talk about what he said here. And in Romans 7:18, it said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is brethren with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Don't you know that your flesh sometimes, just by watching a television show, will begin to think about the things that it once did, and it begins to get stimulated, and it wants to do what it used to do. Come on, somebody in this place. Sometimes it don't even have to be TV. You can go to the gas station, and an old friend will pull up and begin to remind you of how things used to be, and here your flesh is being re-stimulated. Can I get down to the nitty-gritty of sometimes it don't have to be TV or a friend. You can just be
standing somewhere and a deuce and a quarter rolls by. Some of y'all don't know about a deuce and a quarter, but back when you used to hang out and you used to be in your party mind, we used to go where we went in that deuce and a quarter. And on my right, Brother Davis, Deacon Davis knows about the deuce and a quarter. You can ride 5 in the back seat and 3 in the front seat, and you can have a party all by yourself. And you're standing there, you ain't got nothing on your mind that's bad, but when that blue shiny deuce and a quarter rolls by, it takes your mind all the way back to 1973, back when you used to do the smurf and the bump and all of that kind of stuff. Next thing you know, your flesh has gotten out of control. The next thing you know, it's gotten stimulated and massaged. Next thing you know, it's thinking about things that it ought not to think about. But when you go into Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul is telling us, I know that in my flesh, that's why I've always got to fight. I've always got to have myself in a position to fight. Because in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. My spirit man is on the inside. My spirit man don't think about the deuce and a quarter. The spirit man don't think about the old days. But my flesh is still my flesh. Oh, come on, somebody in this place. I heard somebody, they want to testify and say, I'm saved to the bone. Because the Bible tells me, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They tell you that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know that you are a new creature. Old things have passed away because you got baptized in the name of Jesus after you repented. So now all that stuff is gone. But I want you to know, even when you rise up to walk in the newness of life, but your flesh is still your flesh. Your flesh did not get saved, but your soul got saved. Your brain still remembers what it used to do. Your flesh can be easily activated. So you've got to put up a fight and let yourself know, I'm watching you. I understand how you think. I understand how you want to move. And the spirit man needs to tell your flesh, I'm watching you. I got my eye on you. And I'm going to bring you in and under subjection by the word of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. I'm not going to let you get stimulated. I'm not going to let you get out of control. But I'm going to fight the good fight. Oh, come on, somebody in this place. Paul goes on and he says stuff like this. He says, when I would do good, it seems like evil is always present. When I turn this way to do something that I ought to do, my flesh is rising up against me. I find when I want to do something right that there's a law in my members. It's not the law of God. It's the law of flesh. It's the law of sin. And it wants to rise up and stop me from what I need to do. But I want you to know, I understand, oh wretched man, that I am. I'm going to bring you under subjection. I'm going to bounce you out of here with the word of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. So we're talking about the things that we need to fight against. And I want to mention one more thing before we talk about how we need to fight. Because I'm becoming cognizant of the fact that I go on in my ministry. Too many of us ministers, we assume everybody knows the right thing to do. So we talk about what we shouldn't do, but we don't talk about how to overcome what we should not do. But one more thing I want to talk to you about. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to know you can't fight your brother. You can't fight your sister. You can't fight your kids and your parents. You can't fight your co-workers. You can't fight the boss on your job. You can't go across the street and kick your neighbor in the kneecap. I want you to know that's the wrong kind of fight. We don't fight against people, even though the spirit that's against us, the spirit of the adversary, will rise up in somebody, and he'll use that molded clay. He'll use that piece of clay to cuss at you, to hit you, to spit on you, to despitefully use you. But what you've got to do is fight the good fight of faith. You've got to understand that this lump of clay isn't where I fight. I got to go in my prayer closet and say, Jesus, I need you right now. I need you to show up on the scene. I need your strength and power to show me the right thing to do. The Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. I saw somewhere, when you treat them good, you heap coals of fire upon their head. I don't want you trying to do nothing bad to nobody. Don't go get, you know, some people will say, I got my Acts 2:38 talking about the Bible. Then they'll turn around and say, if you mess with me too much, I'll go get one of my actual 2:38 and come out my door against you. But in the name of Jesus, don't go get your 38 stub nose. Don't go get your shotgun. Or back in our day, Deacon Davis, don't go get your nunchucks. Don't go get your hair rake and cut nobody with it. Don't go get your knife. Don't go get your back. Don't go get your chain. But go get with Jesus and say, Jesus, just help me through this. Jesus, elevate my mind. Jesus, help me to love my neighbor. Jesus, help me to speak good and kindly toward those that's not treating me right. Come on and shout hallelujah. That's what the fight is about. You got to put up the fight, not to fight. You got to put up the fight, not to cuss. You got to put up the fight, not to kill or cuss. You got to put up the fight. Now somebody say, how? I want you to know that the Bible says, except the Lord watch the city, the watchmen watch, but in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So pastor, how do I fight? I want you to know, let the Lord fight your battle. I want you to know that there was some in the Old Testament that had armies coming up against them, and the man consulted God, and God told the man, you shall not need to fight in this battle. I want you to know, you don't have to put up your fist, you don't have to put on extra watch, you just tell Jesus, I need you, Lord. Let the Lord watch for you. Let the Lord fight for you. The Lord will ease on over there where that person is sleeping, and begin to talk to them while they are dreaming, and give them what they need from the Lord. Next thing you know, they're treating you the right way. Come on and shout hallelujah. When I just gotten saved, thank you. I went and started a job, and I told them I needed Sundays off, and if nothing else, Sunday mornings, so I can be in the house of the Lord. Now, I was newly saved, and one of the things I would do at the drop of a hat in the world, I would fight. I might not have been a good fighter, but you can see me coming. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. And so the very first schedule that came out had me working on a Sunday. And when I came there on that Sunday, I was so mad that when the boss man was right here, I came by and made sure I bumped him. I wanted him to know, you ain't got no business scheduling me on a Sunday. Come on, somebody in this place. I didn't handle it the way the Lord wanted me to handle it. I was unwise. I was not mature in my actions. But God saw my desires. So that boss man, instead of firing me or pushing me back, he said, "All right now, you better watch yourself." He was an older gentleman and had some wisdom not to mess the young fella up. Shout hallelujah in this place. But I want you to know that when I looked at the next schedule had me on Sunday again. But this time, I just went to the Lord. I was letting the Lord know about my sorrows, what I was feeling on the inside. I want you to know that somewhere in the course of that week, the Lord went and spoke to the boss that was over the boss. And when I asked him, "Do I have to work on this Sunday?" He was a man from Afghanistan. And he said, "No." The Lord come to me in a dream and he scared me. So you go to church because the Lord come to me in a dream. I want you to know, if you give God the opportunity, God will speak to your enemies. If you give God the chance, he will bring peace between you and your neighbor. Shout yes, Lord, in this place. So how do I fight? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." How do you fight? Trust in the Lord. How do you fight? By not thinking your own thoughts. How do you fight? Acknowledge him. Go out your door in the morning and say, "Lord, you know I got a stone cold adversary sitting in the cubicle next to me. I need your help, Lord. I need you to come through, Lord." God will talk to them before you get there, or either he'll strengthen your spirit to deal with them. But if you let the Lord fight your battle, he knows how to fight. Come on and shout hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and they that runneth into it, they are safe." I want you to know, keep the name of Jesus in your heart. Keep the name of Jesus in your mind. Keep the name of Jesus on your lips, in your tongue. Keep the name of Jesus. Depend on the name of Jesus. And if you run into the name of the Lord, you shall be safe. Or somebody said that turning the other cheek is for the birds. I ain't gonna let camel hit me and turn the other cheek. But I want you to know that anybody that benches 400 pounds, you don't have to worry about turning the other cheek. You won't be down for the count. But I want you to know, if camel hit me on one, I ain't gonna offer him the other one. But I'm just gonna turn and go the other way. And I'm gonna trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not gonna lean to the understanding that fear's doing your back pocket. I'm not gonna lean to my own understanding that says hit him across the head with a bat. But I'm gonna turn away from trouble. I saw in the scripture that it said, "Man of God, flee these things. So I'm going to pull a Joseph and I'm going to take off running. Not because I'm scared, but I want God to fight my battles. Come on and shout hallelujah. The Bible tells us in St. John the 15th chapter, Jesus said, they are clean through the word which I have spoken unto them. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Why? Because he can rightly divide the word of truth. So when he speaks his word to you, his word is all that you need. Come on and shout hallelujah. And one more thing to let us know how to fight this battle, to fight the good fight of faith, in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, it said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. If we would allow the Holy Ghost to do its work, if we would allow the Spirit of the Lord to dwell on the inside of us, to work on the inside of us, to be active in our lives, then this truth, this treasure that's hidden in earthen vessels, will reveal the excellency of the power of God. And nobody has to see how vile I am. Nobody has to see how ugly I am, because the power of God is fighting in me and through me. So instead of hitting you back, I love you by giving you a testimony of salvation. Instead of cussing you back the way you cuss me, I give you words of love. Like Deacon Don said, if you egg my house, I'm going to come out with some cookies and give them to you. That's Deacon Don's testimony. I haven't arrived yet, just yet. Come on and shout hallelujah. I want you to know today that you are equipped to fight. You are equipped to fight the good fight of faith. And you can start fighting it right now. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in the name of Jesus, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever he has said unto you. So if you let yourself receive the Holy Ghost, then you'll be able to fight. Going back in the Old Testament, he said you won't have to fight in this battle. And I remember that in one of the battles, the children of Israel didn't have to come out, but God set up ambushments around them. All the chariots got stuck in the mud. They heard strange noises, and the Bible says they turned on each other and fought each other, and we didn't have to fight. I want you to know, wicked will consume wicked, but if you stay righteous, you have fought the good fight. Come on and shout hallelujah. Tell somebody it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Fight against your mind. Fight against your body. Fight against your thoughts. Fight against your actions. Fight against your daily routine. Fight against what you've been doing. Fight against the chains that's got you shackled. I want you to know that even Samson, after he had committed sin and they took his strength from him, the Bible says that on that last day of his life, oh, he came before the Lord, and the Lord endowed him, endued him with that strength again. If you fight against those things that have you shackled, I want you to know that even though you shackled yourself, God will come and he'll give you the strength to bring down the house. He'll give you the strength to slay your enemy. He'll give you the strength to overcome your adversary, which is your own mind, your own flesh. Because Satan has no power. He only has the power that we concede to him. So tell God, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to throw up my spiritual dukes. I'm ready to put on the whole armor of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. Come on and shout hallelujah. Say I'm a fighter.